A letter in response to the article Christian Reformed Church and the Formula of Subscription. I just finished the All Around Us article on the Christian Reformed Church and the Formula of Subscription. The last paragraph on the first page mentions a misquoting of the creeds and the classless abuse of the Formula of Subscription going back to 1924, alluding, I assume, to the deposing of Herman Hoeksma, George Uphoff, and Henry Danhoff. I would be interested in reading about that abuse in more detail. Is there an article in the archives of the Standard Bearer or a book that relates those events? Thank you. Sharon Gordon, Wanacue, New Jersey. Response: The best book about the history of the adoption of common grace by the Christian Reformed Church in 1924 and the abuse of the Formula of Subscription by the classes that deposed Hoeksma, Uphoff, and Danhoff is the first-hand account written by Herman Hoeksma, The Protestant Reformed Churches in America. Herman Hoeksma wrote this book already in 1936. Anyone who is interested in that history must read this book. The book has been out of print for a long time and is difficult to find. Easier to find substitutes are Ready to Give an Answer, which deals with the doctrinal issues of 1924, A Watered Garden, which includes a treatment of the history of 1924, and For Thy Truth's Sake, a doctrinal history of Protestant Reformed churches that has a section on 1924. The Reformed Free Publishing Association publishes these three books. I also take this opportunity to point out a few details relating to the charge of misquoting the creeds in 1924, the subsequent abuse of the FOS and the deposition of faithful office bearers, and why this is the historical root of developments in the Christian Reformed Church today. First, the outstanding example of the Synod's misquoting the creeds is the use of the Canons of Dort, heads 3.4.4, to support the third point of common grace. The third point taught that by virtue of God's common grace, the natural man is able to do civic good. To establish that doctrine from the creeds, the Synod quoted the first part of Article 4, where we read, "There remain, however, in man since the fall glimmerings of natural light, whereby he retains some knowledge of God, of natural things, and of the difference between good and evil, and discovers some regard for virtue, good order in society, and for maintaining an orderly external deportment." End of reading. Herman Hoeksma said about the quotation, "A superficial reading of the first sentence of this article leaves the impression upon the minds of the imprudent and inexperienced that it actually teaches that the natural man is able to do good works, as the third point would have us believe." To its shame, however, the Synod did not quote the second part of the article that refutes the very point that it attempted to establish. It reads as follows: "But so far is this light of nature from being sufficient to bring him to a saving knowledge of God and to true conversion, that he is incapable of using it aright even in things natural and civil. Nay, further, this light, such as it is, man in various ways renders wholly polluted, and holds it in unrighteousness, by doing which he becomes inexcusable before God." What Herman Hoeksma said about another creedal citation by the Synod applies to them all. I would say that Synod must have been desperately looking for anything that would have a semblance of proof in the confessions. The Synod's use of the creeds will stand to the everlasting shame of that Synod. By it, the Synod bore false witness against the truth in a theological controversy of enormous proportions, a controversy involving the heart of gospel truth, the continued faithfulness of that denomination to Reformed orthodoxy, and the ecclesiastical life of three of her ministers, their respective consistories, and their congregations. Second, regarding the subsequent abuse of the Formula of Subscription in the deposition of faithful office bearers, the Synod of 1924 refused to discipline Herman Hoeksma and Henry Danhoff for their opposition to common grace. The demand to discipline both Hoeksma and Danhoff was before the Synod and was settled by the Synod. This was a point that Herman Hoeksma insisted on. Indeed, not only did the Synod refuse to discipline, but it also refused even to administer a rebuke to the men for opposing common grace, and commended the doctrine to the churches for further study. The Synod also gave the testimony about Hoeksma and Danhoff that they were reformed in the fundamental truths as formulated in our confessions. It matters little that the Synod added that they tended to one-sidedness. The testimony stands. They were reformed according to the confessions. That was the testimony that they were faithful in keeping the promise that they made when they signed the formula of subscription. After the Synod, two Christian Reformed Church classes deposed these men on the ground that they violated the formula of subscription. The question here is not whether those actions of the classes were legal. They were completely illegal. Classes have no right to depose office bearers. The question here is not the justice of those actions. They were grossly unjust. They treated the men with disdain, and all decency and order was lacking in those decisions. The issue is how the classes deposed them, with the formula of subscription as the main ground. Hoeksma called this appeal to the formula, in his deposition, mistaken. The actions by the classes were an egregious abuse of the formula of subscription. The formula of subscription places the office bearer under the solemn obligation to promote and defend the truth of the creeds. The classes used the formula of subscription to cast out three faithful ministers and their consistories that did exactly that. Indeed, they deposed men about whom their own synod said, not 6 months earlier, that they were reformed in the fundamental truths as formulated in our confessions. A denomination that will so misuse the creeds to establish false doctrine, and so abuse the formula of subscription to depose faithful office bearers, has fundamentally departed from the creeds already and from the proper attitude that a reformed man, church, and denomination must have toward the creeds as expressed in the formula of subscription. Such a denomination can only expect that there will be a fit judgment of God on those actions. This is what we see today. Using the formula to cast out the faithful, she is full of the unfaithful. Misusing the creeds, she loses the creeds. Having abused the formula, she now boldly replaces it. Third, Hoeksma's actions in that gripping history were by him, and should be by us, understood in terms of the formula of subscription. Speaking of the promise that Classis Grand Rapids East attempted to extort from him not to speak against common grace before it deposed him, he said, quote, "He was convinced that it was absolutely impossible to preach and teach in his own congregation without touching upon and contradicting the principles expressed in the 3 points. And he also felt that it would be a breach of promise on his part if he should refrain from publicly warning the churches against the false doctrines adopted by the Synod of Kalamazoo. For when he signed the formula of subscription, he promised that he would maintain and defend the Reformed doctrine as expressed in the formulas of unity." Unquote. Uphoff and Danhoff had similar convictions. They were being faithful to their promises. So likewise must we. This was, and still is, the main contention of the Protestant Reformed Church against common grace. The doctrine is not reformed because it is not creedal. It cannot be maintained or tolerated in a reformed church because it is contrary to the creeds. The controversy over common grace that the Protestant Reformed Church have with other reformed churches who either have not repudiated those decisions of the Christian Reformed Church, who tolerate them, or who defend them to this day is a creedal controversy. It is a controversy that can be settled on the basis of the creeds alone. On that basis, it is our conviction that the formula requires the reformed office bearer to repudiate common grace as not reformed and as militating against the truth of the creeds.